This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Carver High and Bocce Ball in for Mafia tonight, who's off gallivanting. He was probably happy he wasn't in the car with me for that 90-minute traffic jam I was in leading up to getting here 3 minutes before airtime. Because I would have snapped on him. But I would have got out of the car and he would have taken over. I would have run like 20, 30 city blocks. I probably would have snagged like two chicks too on the way running. Even sweating and running in the summer heat, I would have probably picked up two chicks. 34C would have killed me. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. This weekend, two huge matchups highlight a second week of Big Three action with your boy B-Cust, along with full coverage of the PGA Tour at the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Motown. And it all happens on CBS. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Look who it is. B-Comp is back on the bench in the biggest way possible to start talking about the NHL offseason and free agency of all things, because it's starting to heat up. B-Comp, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Scotty. I'm just glad that you didn't have to jog to work, because the number of car accidents you would have caused would have been off the charts. How
it's
are
true.
You?
You know, we don't remember. I don't know specifically at what point when the Penguins were losing 4-0 to the Islanders that I called you a fascist. Do you remember at any point when I tweeted out that you were a fascist?
I don't remember that word specifically, but I'm sure you called me something.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it is what it is, you know. It's not exactly like you guys didn't have to experience it yourselves.
No, Scotty, this is a job for me. I'm not part of the team.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
So did Carver High tell you that I was at this party in Pittsburgh, and I was at this guy's deck in his backyard at this fancy golf club, and he brought up that he knew the president of business operations for the Islanders now. The guy he was the one that started that new arena in Pittsburgh. His name's Trevor Williams. He is the new business guru for the Islanders, helping build the new arena where Belmont Park is. Is that accurate? I'm on top of a story here.
It is very accurate. And for the fans who think that Belmont is still not happening, the Islanders have moved probably half or more of their front office staff to Floral Park, which is right down the street from Belmont. So this is a go. It's just a matter of when.
Well, that's great news, isn't it, Carver High, that it's all happening? You have no worries?
Oh, no. I've thought for the last month or so, month and a half, that this thing is done. Things that others have heard, that this thing's going to happen. And like Brian just said, it's just all about now timing. When are they going to get up on the podium and say that it's done? Probably next week when they miss out on all their free agents.
So when you had wait a minute.
That seems like a good time.
Honestly.
Like, fan morale is at its lowest when their guys leave and they don't get the other guys they go after. Hey, come on down. We're going to put a shovel in the ground over here at Belmont Park. That's typical Island.
So you want them to what you really want is to sign the players they need and not worry about the groundbreaking. You'd rather have the players than the party with the
shovel.
Well, no,
listen. You obviously, the arena is a huge part for this organization. Right. What I'm saying is they're staring down, a week from now, losing their two biggest free agents.
Andersley.
And Leonard. They're staring down losing Lee and Leonard and not getting Panarin and whoever else they're chasing after. And instead of, your fans will be all mad, but then they're going to go and have a big press conference over at Belmont Park. So they'll be okay.
B-Comp, Brian Compton, NHL.com. Do you believe that they will blow the Andersley and Robin Leonard deals?
I am more concerned about Anders than Robin. I don't understand what the thought process is, other than perhaps they think they have a really good chance at signing Artemi Panarin, and they're leaving Andersley hanging until they figure out what's going on with Panarin, Scotty. But I can tell you that Anders is not going to wait around. At least I don't think he is. So There's a decent chance here that they're gonna walk away with neither. And then what do you do as far as an opening night left wing goes? It could be a trap. We'll see.
So do you really feel, in all honesty, that Panarin's top choice is the Islanders?
I wouldn't say that, but they're in the top three from everything that's been reported. It's pretty much down to the Islanders, Rangers, and Florida Panthers, Scotty. And the caveat here is that he already has an off-season home in Florida. And the second thing that I would add is, when is the last time a free agent, and Mikey knows what I'm talking about here, when's the last time a free agent chose the Islanders over the Rangers? I mean, that never, ever has happened that I can remember. So this is a dangerous game here that Lou Lamoriello is playing. And like I said, he could certainly wind up with not having his captain, Andrews Lee, who did a remarkable job, and Panarin. It's very dangerous.
I actually believe that, I think the Rangers did a great job, obviously falling in their lap, getting Kako. That's a beautiful thing. But beyond that, there's very limited things that I'm excited about if I'm a player looking at the Rangers right now, to be honest with you. And then with the Islanders, if I'm a player, I'm UFA, and I'm looking at the New York Islanders, I'm looking at Trotz. I'm looking at they're building a brand new billion-dollar arena, and that they are already loaded and talented, and this could be the nucleus for a winner on Long Island. Actually, is more delicious to me clearly than the New York Rangers these days. I think it might be the first time ever that someone does choose the Islanders over the Rangers.
It's possible, Scotty. They're certainly deep on defense. I won't dispute that. But if Leonard walks, who's the goalie? And if Lee, I mean, unless we're talking about Panarin here, if Lee walks, I mean, that's a huge hole there too. I don't think the Rangers are going to be as bad as they were this past year. I mean, they added Jacob Trouba, who's a tremendous defenseman. Kaapo Kakko, like you said, they're still short at center for sure. Are they on Matthew Shane? I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But I think, with Trouba in the mix, and if Hank is Hank, they could clearly be a bubble team. I don't think they're going to be as dead and buried as they were this past year.
Did you see the stories about King Lundqvist, that he would possibly be traded? Have you ever thought that would be true? Like, I saw stuff to the San Jose Sharks.
No chance. I don't see that happening. Hank loves living in New York. He loves, playing on Broadway and then going out and playing the guitar on the Lower East Side after the games. So I don't see that happening at all.
Who cares what he wants?
I mean, it's up to him. I mean, if he doesn't want to go somewhere, he's not going. So, I mean, that's the beauty of having a no-move clause. So there's no way.
Oh, God. Hank's got the no.
That's how it goes,
guys. Oh, my God. Hank's got the Mike Francesa deal? I mean, Jesus. My God. Jeez, I didn't know.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere, okay?
I didn't know he had that much did you hear him doing a little? Did you hear that? That was nice, right? This might be one of the greatest BCOM interviews ever.
Did you like that?
I liked that. That stopped me dead in my tracks. It was so good. Let me go to I didn't know he had that kind of juice. I always said, Phil Kessel's cousin and King have the no-trade clause?
Right. A lot of these guys have no-trade clauses. That's how it goes. Once you hit, right now, once you become a UFA, 27, 28, you determine where you're going to play for the next 7 or 8 years.
Wow. What do you think? Do you believe that Duchesne is going to Nashville?
I do. I really do. Yeah, I bring this up with everybody that I talk to about Matty. I remember being in Nashville for the All-Star festivities about 3 years ago and watching him on stage playing the guitar. And I said to myself then, man, I mean, you could tell how much he loves this city and how he would like to play here one day. There's going to be a lot of potential suitors, whether it's the Islanders, Rangers, Montreal Canadiens are very much in the mix here. But I think when push comes to shove, he's going to go play for the Predators.
What about Zuccarello? Is Dallas dumb enough to let him roll? Or it's up to him, obviously, because that guy, he lit it up in the playoffs for them. He knows how to make points happen.
Well, I don't think dumb is a fair word. I mean, if he's going to get 5 or 6 years somewhere else, I mean, he's in his early 30s there. So there's going to be GMs that are going to be hesitant to give him that kind of a deal. He would clearly help in the next 2 to 3 for sure. But like any GM, they're going to think about the last few years of that contract. So we'll see.
What about Pavelski? He's a killer.
Yeah, no, I mean, I never thought that it would get to this point with Joe in San Jose. I mean, that seems to be where he belongs and where he should stay. But if he hits July 1st, I know we already met with the Stars from what Pierre LeBrun from The Athletic reported today. So that would be a nice fit. Again, if they don't re-sign Zuccarello, Joe Pavelski makes a lot of sense there. He's a little bit older. I think he's 34, 35, but he can still produce, and he's a tremendous leader. So wherever he ends up, he's going to help hockey team immensely for sure.
So, like, of all the guys that are out there, like, you know, that are still, you know, in terms of big names, like, you know, is it Wayne Simmonds? Is it Bobrovsky? Is it Johansson of the Bruins? Of the big names that are still out there, who do you think is the one to watch and keep an eye on? Is Corey Perry washed? Is he finished, or is he going to get a fat deal somewhere else?
I don't think Perry's going to get a fat deal somewhere. I mean, he's going to sign somewhere, but he's clearly not one of the bigger fish. It's Panarin, it's Bobrovsky. You know, Wayne Simmonds is going to help a team, but I wouldn't consider him a big fish. You know, Brian Boyle could certainly help a team. He's not a big fish either. You're looking at Pavelski, Bobrovsky. I think those are the two, and Duchesne. Those are the three biggest names to keep an eye on.
What about?
Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. What about Mitch Marner as a restricted? A lot of people are licking their chops to try to throw a deal at him so outrageous that Toronto doesn't mess with it.
Yeah, you know, Scotty. I mean, you rarely see restricted free agents get signed to an offer sheet. This could be the year, whether it's Marner, Patrick Laine in Winnipeg, Sebastian Aho down in Carolina. I mean, those are three huge names that could help a hockey team immensely. And, you know, Marner is one of those guys. He wants what John Tavares and Austin Matthews, his two big teammates, got in Toronto. He wants $11 million per. The Leafs created a little bit of space at the draft trading Patrick Marleau to the Hurricanes, but I don't know if they can afford to give Mitch Marner $11 million, and it's just a matter of whether or not these other GMs are willing to bite the bullet and give up four first-round picks. We'll see how that goes.
What did you think of the draft? Were you surprised at anything? And what do you think of the kid, Hughes, going to the Devils and that Subban ended up there?
Yeah, the Devils hit a home run, didn't they? I mean, between getting Jack Hughes number one and then trading for P.K. Subban and really not giving up a whole lot. I mean, I know a lot of it has to do with the $9 million per, Scotty, but for Steven Santini and another prospect and two second-round picks, you know, putting P.K. Subban in the New York market, that's going to be fantastic. So, you know, Friday night was obviously a little bit quiet as far as trades go, and I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that the salary cap for this coming season hadn't been announced yet, and then it picked up a little bit there in day two. With clearly the biggest move being P.K. Subban going to the Devils.
So, you know, I want to look at, in terms of teams, the Rangers actually had this draft. So this kid, if I could pull it up, like hopefully I can do this quickly. Not the kid Kako, but they actually, I'm looking for their draft list here. They got this kid. No, listen, I'm serious. They got this kid. I think his name's Zach Jones. He's from Virginia. He's from, like, Richmond, Virginia. I think they drafted him, and maybe I think it was the third round.
And, okay.
Yeah, so it turns out my sister knows the kid. Like, she saw
really?
She saw him raised as from a baby till now, and he's, like, this young stud player that I guess the New York Rangers drafted him. And now he's I saw him with his little, you know, Ranger sweater on, and he's, you know, I wonder how long do you think a kid like that, when they draft him in the third round, how long do you think he plays in the minors? 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, minimum. I mean, and that goes for guys who get drafted late in the first round, Scotty. Once you get past those top five, it's such a crapshoot. It could take 3 to 4 years for any of these kids to see the NHL.
So you're basically giving the kid no chance in life.
No, that's not what I said. I'm saying it could be 3 to 4 years before you see him in New York.
All right. And then do you have anything bad you want to say about my Penguins while I have you on the air here? Anything?
I never say anything bad about anybody. You know that. Look, there were rumors that Phil Kessel could have been on the move a couple weeks ago. He shot it down with Minnesota, I believe the team was. But, you know, again, that goes back to what we're talking about with the no moves and no trades, Scotty, that, you know, once you get to that position in your career, you kind of have a say in where you work and, you know, live and all that good stuff. So, Penguins have some work to do. I know they traded Olimata, right? So Their defense is going to have a little bit of a different look, but they're not as bad as they clearly played in that first round.
How about your boy Luongo retiring?
Yeah, you know, walking away from a little bit of chunk of change there. He's such a good dude, honestly. Phenomenal guy. Hall of Fame career, in my opinion, for sure. And it clears the way for Sergei Bobrovsky to sign on there if that's where he wants to play.
Last but not least, real quickly, and I know you won't say anything, you probably won't comment at all, but I thought that this is just me, I think you should be able to comment about this. I think the class for the Hall sucks.
Yeah, you're correct. I'm not going to comment on that. Good for you.
There you go. I just wanted to comment again, without BCOM's assistance, that the Hall of Fame selections this year suck. You know, no offense to anyone that got in, even though no one cares about any of them. Just a terrible job that they did. I mean, my God, who did we say? McGillney and your boy JR left off again. I mean,
we were hoping that they would get
could
it.
They shaft anybody else worse than
next year?
I love you, buddy.
Yeah, stay out of my business when I'm talking bad about people. See ya, B-Comp. Good job.
Always a pleasure, pal.
Did you notice how he got out of there right when I started saying nasty things about people? He just got right off the show right there.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
So, not to beleaguer the point, but do you think Marner will stay in Toronto, or that someone will lure him out of there with a deal that they don't want to deal with?
The way I've kind of felt about it is these things never happen. I mean, like B-Comp was saying, I think it's been 6 or 7 years since somebody's actually signed an offer sheet, an RFA. You know, it's such a complicated deal when you get into the 4 first-round picks and the years. And this is a year, though, there are so many really good young players that are RFAs that and everybody is in such a cap crunch right now. Like, think about Toronto. You know, they've got all those guys that they're paying the big money to. Marner wants to get paid the same. All it takes is a team with a ton of cap space to go to him and be like, hey, I'll give you $12 or $13 million a year. He might not be worth that. I mean, that's Connor McDavid money, but it'll get him, might get lure him away from Toronto, and you got to pay the 4 first rounders. I'm just going with, until I see somebody actually do it, I don't believe that it's going to happen.
Do you think Bobrovsky and Panarin are going to play for the Florida Panthers?
I think at the end of the day they are, but there's some kind of weird thing going on here with what Lamoriello is trying to do with the Islanders. I think that he's trying to do what the Panthers are. He's like trying to bring them as a package. Like, he kind of feels like the only way he can get Panarin is if he brings Bobrovsky with him. Like, I guess they're tight. They've played together in Columbus the last few. They have the same agent.
So you're telling me that the Islanders would get rid of Leonard and get Bobrovsky and Panarin?
I think that that could be what they're trying
what
to do.
What are they saying about it on your Aisle Seat podcast? Very popular.
I mean, what I basically said last night and what the gentleman I had on from Newsday, Andrew Gross, is this is what they're trying to do. They are trying to, it seems like, kind of let Lee and Leonard kind of hang in the balance while they swing for this Panarin-Bobrovsky tandem, and there's a really good chance they could be left with nobody.
And what does Lee and Leonard think of the treatment they're receiving, or the lack of treatment?
Well, in the past week, Lee last Saturday at his charity event pretty much seemed miffed that it had gotten this far. Like, he was kind of stunned that he was going to be able to talk to other teams. He thought this thing would be done a long time ago. Leonard has said all the right things. I want to play here. I don't care how many years or the cost. He even went as far Sunday night.
How old is Lee? Go ahead.
Lee's 29.
And then the other one said what on Sunday?
Leonard said that he's not going to even talk to other teams, which you cannot believe, because if you're sitting out there and the Islanders have not made a deal with you. Now, this is also players talking. We know this in all these sports. Players say a lot of things to the media, to the fans, that we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Here's the problem with Anders Lee and the Islanders.
Right.
He probably wants 7 or 8 years, and he's 29 years old. He's a power forward. We know how these things go with these guys. They break down by, what, 34, 35 years old, and the Islanders probably offered him 5 or 6. He wants 7 or 8, and they haven't found a middle ground all year.
How good do you think the Hughes-Kako rivalry will be with the Devils and Rangers? Is it enough to spark a resurgence in that rivalry? Because it's been dead.
Yeah, I think it will. I absolutely think it will. They're both outstanding players. Kako could have went number one any other year that he was in the draft. In fact, I think he probably could have went one in this if different teams.
And what do you think of Heeshire that they've had already as a number one 2 years into his career?
I mean, he's been okay. He's still young. He's still only 20 years old. So there's a long lot of growth for him, and he's already got two full seasons.
But not worthy of a number one. He's not.
I think that if he was in the same draft as either Hughes or Kako, he would not be the number one overall pick.
Did you see that BCom said that my the kid that I know will be in the minors toiling for the rest of his life?
He did say that. And his future's bleak. You texted me about that kid over the weekend.
I get no love from you.
I listen, the NHL draft outside, like he said, I agree with him. Outside of the top five or six picks, honestly, you're throwing a dart.
Outside of the Islanders is what he's saying in Portuguese. He doesn't give a rat's ass about anyone else.
Every team is throwing a dart. Anybody that you take in the NHL draft, other than the guys that are sure things like Hughes and Kako, you're throwing a dart.
Yeah, I believe that. So let's get back into the NBA talk when we get back here. There's so much in the free agency in the NBA that just blows your mind. We'll get into all of that. Let's do an update. See how the U.S. men's team did against Panama tonight in soccer in the Gold Cup. Here's Marco Belletti.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Summer's here. That means baseball action daily. And PharrellOnTheBench.com has been killing it. All the plays, every day, every game, everything on the board, it's all there in an email with the picks ranked, favorite to least, you're going to love it, even boxing and MMA. PharrellOnTheBench.com, the best picks, the best price, buck a day, son, sign up today. Everybody's doing it, they just won't admit it, hide the money from your wife. All right, so much to do. I did want to mention you, because we're going to do the basketball, but you had said last night late, Carver High, that you had some strong comments about the breakdancing being in the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris. So now they're calling it breaking in Olympic circles. Its medal debut was last October at the Buenos Aires Youth Summer Games. The street dance competitions will feature 16 athletes in each of the men's and women's medal events in Paris. Breakdancing in the Summer Olympics.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I don't believe in it. I don't think that it should be happening. Honestly, we still don't have baseball back in the Olympics, right?
We don't have that, but yeah. Surfing will be there. There'll be surfing in the Olympics.
I can take that. Breakdancing?
Yeah.
Come on. This is the Olympics.
What was that movie?
A sporting event.
What was the movie?
It's not a dance competition.
What was the movie about? Maybe Bocce Ball knows. What was the one about the dancing? Remember there was like these dance teams, street dancing competitions?
Step up.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Just the whole street vibe. You know, break dancing, you know, comp, you know, like just teams
going.
Why is
there any kind of dancing?
But they're going against each other and there's people fighting. It's like, do you remember when Michael Jackson had Thriller and there was like, remember they started all that aggressive dancing? Like they were really like, there was street fights and dancing and it was like a Broadway show and Michael Jackson was doing it and break dancing and moonwalking. Do you remember all that?
I do, but that's not an Olympic sport.
It is now.
I think it's ridiculous.
You're just not excited about it, are you?
I don't think it's...
Looks like you won't be going to Paris.
They were losing my interest as it was. They just lost it a little bit more.
Now that you've heard everything, we even had the guy on. We'll start with this guy, Aaron, in Charlotte, talking about Kemba, because we've already been talking with Rick Bunnell about from The Observer about Kemba tonight and where he's going to go. Aaron, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, man, I missed the conversation with Rick, but my biggest question is, I guess, first of all, whether or not he'll end up back in Charlotte. But I'm also curious, like, say he went to Boston. Would you think that'd be, like, an upgrade over Kyrie? Like, I think Kyrie, like, is marginally better from, like, a pure basketball standpoint. I feel like Kemba's, I don't know what the word would be, like, stability or, like, calmness or, like, you know, he won't go in there and cause a circus or have any drama or any kind of that stuff that Kyrie kind of brings with him. And he's a very similar basketball player, like, almost as good, if not as good. And I'm kind of curious not only where he'll end up, if he'll end up back in Charlotte or not, but kind of where you see him on your list of point guards in the NBA.
Well, I think he's awesome. I think he's awesome. And listen, if it would behoove them to consider that he remains steadfast and calm when he plays, because, you know, if there's not a lot of drama and sideshow and, you know, I think it's unavoidable in Boston. I mean, the bottom line is when you play for the Celtics and you don't win every night, you're going to get shredded in the papers and on the radio, and that's just all there is to it. They blamed Kyrie for everything there. And so he was miserable. Let's just face facts. That guy wants out of there because of the, you know, it's so funny. He wants to be the only name on the marquee. He wants to be the featured attraction where he plays. He doesn't want anybody else to get any of his shine. But the fact of the matter is that he couldn't even take it. He couldn't take the abuse in Boston that they blame everything on him when they were like a five all year and they never got any better. They blamed him. And meanwhile, there was Horford. There were all these guys that weren't getting the job done. And, you know, he takes the brunt of the blame. So I don't think there's as much drama with Kemba Walker around when he plays. You don't see that. But that's because he's in Charlotte. If he was in Boston and he cuts a deal with the Celtics, he's going to find out the hard way. And I do think they're on similar planes. I think they do have similar numbers and talents. I think that, you know, I'd be willing to say that Kyrie Irving is maybe, a little bit better than Kemba Walker. I'm not going to sit there and say it's some drastic difference. I think Kemba Walker's a badass. He can do as much as Kyrie Irving can any day of the week. I don't care what anybody says. I'll give you that Kyrie's probably one step above him at best. You know what I mean? Like one step up the stairwell at best. You know, Kemba's right there. He can flat out play with anybody. He can put on a show every night and take over a game like nobody's business. And he scores, 25 a clip. The guy just is, he's money. So it doesn't matter which one's there. They're going to take the heat in Boston for sure. And I think they have to, go get him, to be honest with you. I don't think you can lose Kyrie Irving and expect to, and Horford and Morris. And you think you're going to be better? Well, obviously, it's going to be more Jaylen, more Tatum, all the rest. Smart, et cetera. But the rest of that team, Baines is gone, right? I mean, they really took a beating. Now, they had a decent draft, but are they ready to go on the floor and just start contributing? We'll see. But I think it really hurts them, Kyrie leaving. And I think they have to do something big to replace him. And Kemba would be that option, obviously. The Rockets are shopping Capella and Gordon for space. I've said this. And Tucker. They're offering Capella, Gordon, Tucker as a prelude to their pursuit of Jimmy Butler. Capella has 4 years and $66 million left on his deal. Gordon has $14 million and Tucker $16 million over 2 years left on their contracts. Only $2.6 million of Tucker's second year is guaranteed. I mean, those aren't that bad. Gordon and Tucker contracts aren't that bad. They could just keep them. If they could move Capella's $66 million, that's what I think they're trying to do. That's legitimately what they're trying to do. But be careful what you wish for. You get rid of that big in there, then who's going to play, who's going to take over that role and that job on that team besides no one? Seriously, they'll have a real hole in that lineup, in my opinion, down in the block. I mean, the guy's young and athletic and big, and he does produce and rebound and block shots. And run the floor for a young guy. I think he's a real nice piece. And they obviously gave him all that money because they know it. So now they're going to, try to deal him, Carver High?
It certainly seems that way. I still just can't try to figure out, and Rick kind of mentioned it earlier, what are the 76ers, doing here? I guess they're just they think that Butler's going to leave and they're just trying to get something for him. Is that pretty much their angle here with this sending him to Houston?
The Rockets could push a full 5-year, $190 million offer at the start of free agency on Sunday night. The Sixers could offer Butler a 4-year, $146.5 million deal as well. Butler would be eligible to sign a 4-year, $140 million on the way to the Rockets. The Sixers acquired Butler, of course, in the deal this year. So I think Philly would be foolish to let him go, to be honest with you. I mean, are they really going to have Tobias Harris and Butler and lose both of them? They're going to let that happen?
You would think that they really should effort hard to keep one of them at least, right?
Durant has declined his $31.5 million player option and is unrestricted now. And is Durant and his business manager, Rich Kleiman, are in New York evaluating free agency options. Everything's been private and blah, 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 but we know the deal.
He's coming to New York or Brooklyn.
If he stays with the Warriors, $221.3 million over 5 years at $44.3 million a year. And then if he goes to the Knicks or the Nets, $164 million over 4 years at $41 million a pop. And you think he's going to Brooklyn or the Knicks automatic?
I do.
And which one is it?
I'm not quite sure.
Do you think he really wants to play with Kyrie Irving?
Certainly seems that way.
Those two. And then what, DeAndre Jordan? Get all three of them?
DeAndre Jordan.
Didn't the Knicks already have him?
They did. They got him in the Porzingis trade.
So do they have him still? Do they still have him?
They do technically still have him. The reason why they held on to him is for this whole Durant charade that was coming this summer.
Right. Wow. I mean, I cannot believe. You're going to tell me that...
He may be...
So they're going to lose out. The Knicks are going to lose out on everyone. You're going to tell me they're going to end up with nothing at all except for R.J. Barrett in the draft and Brzdakis from Michigan? That's it? And no star players? Not even Julius Randle they can get to play for the Knicks? They are going to be so awful next year again. Like, honestly... Go jump out a window. You're better off than watching
DeAndre
them.
Jordan is a UFA, but obviously the Knicks can give him the most money because he's currently there, you know, on that team.
But they don't want to give him money.
Well, if it means getting Kevin Durant, they will.
Well, they can't pay him max money.
Not max money. Obviously, DeAndre Jordan is not a max player anymore. He's not going to, you know, but keeping him on the Knicks gets you Kevin Durant. Who's not even going to play next year.
But why is it that everyone keeps thinking that that Kyrie's going to the Nets? So why would Durant go to the Knicks and they separate and then...
Yeah,
one,
I don't think that
they
they're
both
gonna,
are going to be the star players
on
teams in
I don't think that
New
they're going to separate in New York. I think it's one or the other. Like
they're going to play together
there's only
or
two,
nothing.
There's only two scenarios, I think. Either they both go together to either the Knicks or the Nets together
right.
as a package.
Right.
Or the other one is Kyrie goes to Brooklyn and Durant like is... Stays in Golden State or something.
All right,
like
so
that.
Aaron has another question about Kemba. Go ahead.
I was just wondering if there's a way for like the if with Kemba being eligible for the Supermax, maybe if we can get him for like in between the Max and the Supermax, the hometown discount he's talking about. If there's a way for us to, if it's better for us to keep him, or if there's a way to or not keep him and still be able to get out of this like mediocrity AC 6-7, 6-7, 6 seed in the East. And just kind of get out of this mediocrity.
Well, listen, like, he said to me a number of times that the guy is going to talk to everyone. So what he's going to do is he's going to go to those meetings and he's going to get offers to leave by everyone. He's going to get a better offer than Charlotte. And why would you not take a better offer if someone affords it to you? I don't understand people that take crappy offers. I just don't understand it. The hometown discount, that's the biggest load of Shaq I've ever listened to in my life. It's so ridiculous. Give me a hometown discount. What is that? That is the most just stupid thing ever. Is that not like, give me a hometown discount? Shut up. There's no such thing. There is no such. Who does that? Like, hey, honey, listen, I'll be right back. I'm going to go cut a bad deal, and then I'll take you out to dinner. Who does that? Like, here's the deal. You want to make the most money. So you go get the most money. That's what you do. You go get the best deal. And sometimes it's less years and less money, but that's not, it's not the same thing as taking less money, right? You understand? If he had the more years, he'd have the more money. So if they take, if Durant takes 4 years, that's what he wants. He wants to get rid of, he wants to shed the Warriors from his rap sheet.
If you listen to what Rick was saying earlier, and I kind of agree with him, it kind of sounds like that for the Hornets to get out of what the gentleman was just talking about there, the mediocrity of being in the same place
right.
year after year. It sounds like letting him go would actually be the quickest path for them to get to that area. Let him go, completely strip it down, start back from the bottom.
Right. Instead of have that heavy price tag and all that money, and then
and
you
winning,
still
and
don't
winning,
win.
And winning 35 to 40 games every year and being the 7th or 8th seed.
Well, they
went
39.
But that's the range. Whereas if you let him go, get down and win 25 games the next 2 years, maybe you win the lottery 1 year, maybe you end up, you know, something like that, and you get a little jump start in the franchise.
So, yeah.
And if you're him, and like he said, they're not gonna be able to sign anybody else. Why would you want to stay there anyway? Like, Kemba Walker is a competitor. What he did at UConn, things like doesn't he want to go to a place where he's going to win sometime in the next 5 or 6 years?
It really is unbelievable. And then here's the deal. I'm hearing, you see this story that the Blazers might want to trade for Kevin Love. And then you keep hearing that Kawhi is on the Lakers' radar. And, you know, the Lakers, they're interested in D'Lo. I mean, who aren't the Lakers getting? It's well, unbelievable.
You got to look around the West right now, and everybody sees their opportunity. They see a wounded Golden State next year that is not going to be the same. The Jazz have already went out and got Connelly. The Blazers want to add Love to what they already have there. The Lakers, we know, are getting better. The Rockets want to bring Butler with Harden and CP3. Everybody in the West thinks that the door is open now here next year
Thompson,
to get something done.
Thompson said he'd meet, Clay would meet with the Clippers. They would, obviously, they'd love him, but he's not going to play for a year either. Would you, if you're him, don't you just stay with Golden State, Thompson?
Maybe it looks like everybody's jumping ship.
Wow. And then I see here Marcus Smart's optimistic about the franchise. I'm excited. We're excited. Excited about what? Honestly, you lose Kyrie and Horford and you're excited? Excited about what? I mean it. 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. We go to the Billy Idol Hour of Love. You're either with us or you're going to bed there, sissy lips.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.